has roared over all the earth, you know, to be as one, to live as one, wherever we may go. We live in peace forevermore. No more fight, no more wars, no more attack, no more bloodshed. We celebrate what God is love, we've all been told. Each in a different way, we proclaim love and an end to war.
Hi, this is show host Marcia McMahon, host of The Peaceful Planet. Join us every other Saturday evening on bbsradio.com, Station 1, 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern, and 4 p.m. Pacific, or wherever you are around the world. Marcia is an angelic channel who works with Archangel Michael, Metatron, and other ascended masters such as Princess Diana, Jesus, and Mother Mary in her readings and messages on air. This is an opportunity for you to expand your consciousness and connect with the masters and angels and raise the vibration of the planet to the highest wisdom possible.
Welcome everyone to the Peaceful Planet Show. This is your host, Marcia McMahon, and I want to welcome all you good folks out there to a wonderful new episode of The Peaceful Planet. And I am Marcia McMahon. If you haven't heard the show before, it's about grounding peace for the planet and personal peace as well as global peace. And I'm a gifted angel intuitive and medium and author of 4 books. And we're excited this evening to have a wonderful guest, James Dugan, I'm sure I simplified that last name, on the show, and his message with his book called Solar Return in just a moment. First up, I would want to inform you that I have my Akashic readings and past life sessions on sale for the month of February. That's coming up. And since I'm announcing it, you know, if you tuned in tonight, mention BBS Radio and you can get a discount. And so the soul readings with Archangel Michael are always available. And if you seem to be stuck in your life or you need a sense of purpose and direction and you're seeking, then a soul reading always makes things joyful and clear with the guidance of Archangel Michael. And Valentine's Day would be a perfect time to think about doing soul readings if you're lost in your situation with love life or any other dilemma that you face. Michael will always come through with his wisdom in a beautiful way. We're going to be speaking tonight about soul healing and body, mind, spirit, soul healing with James. And I work a lot with the soul in my past life and my readings, but I also am a lot like James in my approach with healing. It's body, mind, spirit, dietary healing. And James is a wonderful guest and a wonderful healer. And he did some work on me recently, and I could feel it from distance without even having to talk to James. And he just sent me Reiki. I felt wonderful. So he's a very gifted, intuitive healer, and we're so happy to have him. I also have an interesting message from Princess Diana this evening, and I haven't brought her through for a while, and she has a very special message for the show this evening, and I'd like to connect with Diana now and read you my message that was channeled in, and then we'll get to James's bio and his book, and we'll take questions, and we'll also be sending out Reiki to our listeners. I know a lot of you listeners have had health challenges lately, and so if you would like to call in for a Reiki healing, James and I will combine our talents and send out distance Reiki to you, and you can give your name and state whatever your dilemma is. I'm not really doing a reading on you because there won't be time, but I will, send it out into the vibrations of the universe, and everything will be set right. And that number is 888-627-6008. If you have a question or you would like to make a Reiki request at distance. So just putting those good vibrations out to you this evening. So kick back, relax. This is another wonderful evening of healing energy through James Duganen and myself. And I have the entire good vibes of the angels around me. I've called them in. The four major archangels, Michael, Gabriel, Uriel, and Raphael, the healer. And then we have the ascended masters with us, Lady Diana, Princess Diana, Mother Mary, Jeshua, Mary Magdalene, and, of course, the Master John Lennon, who doesn't like to be referred to as a master, but he certainly is. And he's been creating the music for the show through the mediumship of James Murray at www.thestarstillshine.com. And so we've been using the music provided by James and the late Bob Murray in our wonderful show format for a long, long time. So I'm very grateful to Don hosting the show tonight and to James coming on. And if you'll please listen now and go into the silence, Diana wishes to bring through a special message for all listening this evening. So Princess Diana says, I wish to commend the continuing effort to heal others and yourself and shed greater light upon the phenomenon known as holistic healing this evening. As many know, I was a great believer in that in my life and a great fan of it as Princess Diana, and I still am, because it has healed you, my dear friend Marcia, and you are my primary channel. You've been able to continue to be my voice for 6 to 7 extra years of your life due to holistic healing. What a gift it is to give healing to another or receive it from another. You're actually giving to yourself. So I'm so glad that you and James have connected and that you've gone and done some healing already. I wish to send out my love both to Harry and Megan as they embark on their new life's journey. I ask Megan to get on board with the ridiculous royal family and be patient with the protocol of the royal family. They are not easy to get along with, as you well know with my experience. However, I'm extremely proud of my sons, William and Catherine, and they could use your prayers now for safe delivery of their child. And of course, Meghan and Harry could also use your support and prayers. Just because someone is a celebrity doesn't mean that their life is going to be automatically easy. You don't drive in with the golden gilded carriage that I was in and that automatically adjusts to centuries of old protocol. So I caution Meghan that it will not be an easy ride in that gilded carriage that I rode in. I love William and Kate because they stand for tradition, and I equally love Harry and Meghan because they stand out and will do much humanitarian good. Both are light workers, and they will reform the monarchy completely in my style. I began what they will continue, and I send all my love out to our listeners this evening and ask that our listeners look into Marcia's books with me, titled With Love from Diana, Queen of Hearts, and her other work, Princess Diana's Message of Peace. I wish you all peace and healing on your journeys. As well, I recommend Marcia's healing services and her angelic readings. My love, Princess Diana, the Queen of Hearts. So we thank Diana for chiming in this evening. What a beautiful message to precede our wonderful guest, James. And I'm going to read a little bit of James's bio. And James, if you would give me the correct pronunciation. How do you say your name?
James Dignam.
Dignam. Oh, that's Dignam. Really like...
Yeah. Dignam.
Dignam. Okay, so that's like really Gaelic or something, isn't it?
It's a whole mix in there.
Yes, great. I love the sound of your voice. It's great to connect with another Irish person of Irish descent. James is a health coach, Reiki, and BK Pei Kinesiology Practitioner. He's a graduate of the Institute of Integrative Nutrition and the author of Why Meditation Works, A Glimpse Inside Your Mind and Brain. James advocates taking responsibility for your health and well-being from a holistic perspective that supports the body, the mind, and the soul. In addition to his role as health practitioner, James is a contemporary educator of well-being. The context in which he uses the word educator stems from the Latin origin. Educator originates from educare and edudere, which means to lead or bring out. From its origin, the role of an educator was to lead or bring out the innate wisdom inherent within the student. Contemporary educators and teachers see the student as the tabula rasa, or blank slate, and fill the student with knowledge, facts, and information, which impedes the natural outflow of their innate wisdom. Socrates, however, the Greek philosopher, used the dialectic method by asking carefully worded questions that allow the student to draw their own innate wisdom to their questions. And so, anyway, I want to mention your websites and your categories here. He goes on to say, we are here to develop and evolve our soul, maybe pay a karmic debt, fulfill a purpose if we choose to. Also, I would like to share my approach into supporting the clients and modalities I use, such as health coaching, Reiki, kinesiology, the emotion code, and tapping to address the underlying causes of a health issue. My or James's approach to working with clients is through the education and energetic model. I work the interface between body, mind, and soul, healing clients and helping clients and make their connection with the dots. I work together from where they are to where they want to go. By setting goals, I set markers for the client to work towards, and I provide support and guidance. So anyway, you can reach James at James, duignam.com. Or you can reach him in email at james@jamesdunigan, and I apologize the pronunciation, but it's duignam.com, and he's on Facebook as well. And so anyway, I'm really glad to have you on the program, and I loved your book, The Solar Return. It's spelled S-O-U-L-A-R, Solutions for Mind, Body, and Soul. So welcome, James, to the show, and tell us a little bit about how you knew you were to be a healer.
Good evening, Marcia, and thank you very much for inviting me on your show. I do appreciate that. So my journey began probably 10 or 15 years ago. As I kind of indicated in the book originally, I had two seminal events that really shaped my life. The first one was spending many years dealing with depression, and finally, after maybe 15 or 17 years of getting through depression, I came out of that, but I still didn't really get into that health and wellness, as you just mentioned there. That really was a process that actually happened due to a relationship that I was in, and this relationship was very short with this person, and somehow the loss of the breakup of this relationship really was really heart-shattering, and it really broke me open, as you say. And from that broken open place, I was able to find something within myself that I was not had access to before. So really from that event, really, that was the catalyst that really triggered me to seek answers and question why I was here. But that did not happen right away. First, you know, it's like you're in a car accident and you're kind of dazed from the impact and you're in pain and you're confused, you know, which way you're going. So once that event kind of passed there, I was kind of questioning, was God the cause of this, and God, blaming God and so forth, and why did this happen? Yeah. And then around the same time, I was starting a business with a friend of mine, and then I just was doing cleaning business with this friend of mine, and I just started listening to books, and I'd never really listened to books up to that time. I read some earlier in my life, but when I was cleaning these houses every day, I used to listen to audiobooks. And one of the first books I read was called Discover Your Genius by Michael Gelb. And he talked about 10 of history's greatest geniuses. And I was very interested in geniuses and intelligence in the brain. And from that, then I just started reading more books and listening more books and trying to figure out a lot about the relationship and God and everything. It really opened up a whole new portal of understanding and questioning from me. And also at the same time, I remember going one day to a tarot card reader, and I was trying to figure out, could she give me more insights why this relationship broken up? And she said, the relationship is over. She said, it's only over until such time as you accept it is over. And she says, and think if you, instead of you thinking and feeling bad about yourself, you should go out there and help people who are worse off than you are. Then you will feel better about yourself. So
Then I went out
and I did some hospice work, and I used to visit a lady in a hospital who had a stroke and she was unable to communicate or anything. So I would just go there and sit beside her and be there. And that's really when my kind of health and wellness really began there. And from there, then I just kind of gradually started listening to health and wellness. But one day I was listening to this guy on the radio. His name is Gary Null, and I got really interested in all the work he did, and he really was the person who really got me really interested in it. And then I started figuring out what work he did, and then I decided to become a health coach, and that was back around 2007. So from around 2007 to presently, I've been really learning all facets about health and wellness. Originally, I began in nutrition. Later on, then I wanted to figure out about the mind. Then I started going more into the spiritual aspects. And that's what my book is kind of really about. It's really about the spiritual aspect, because really, the spirit really and soul, it's all about the spirit and the soul, really, this whole incarnation we have here in this body. We're just using this body to get around and work out issues in our soul. So our whole life is really geared around our soul and why we're here, and to resolve the issues that our soul needs in order for us to evolve, because the soul is a very slow process of evolution, and it takes a lot of many lifetimes to do this. But the more that we can work on our soul in each lifetime we begin, it's like you're in school. You don't go to school the first day and come home with a PhD in education. It's a very slow process, and along the way you may fail some exams and you will have to repeat them. And when you come into this lifetime, you may face challenges, and the best thing is to work on these challenges as best you can, because if you ignore them, you'll have to come back and repeat them. So I think it's a good idea that we do the best we can, and we keep the momentum going forward, and gradually we get to that really evolved state where we no longer have to incarnate, and then we can really hang out in the spiritual realm, which is our real home.
Become an ascended master, which is the objective of this lifetime. For me and a lot of our listeners, and probably for you too, although ascended masters are very seldom, if ever, recognized while they're on the earth plane. that's wonderful. So I like the fact that you're tapping now into the soul, but I want to direct our readers to a couple of things that I really appreciated about your book. One, it's full of quotes of William Shakespeare, whom I'm a great fan of. And then all of your other quotes, you've done your homework, so to speak, in the School of Life by putting this book together. And you've got a lot of beautifully appropriate quotes for all the chapters. And if you're an English buff and you're well-read, obviously you are, then it's like it falls together in a beautiful harmony. So while I'm reading the book, I'm appreciating the other authors that you're quoting a lot, because you've got a vast knowledge of resources and healing experience, and you do kind of like what I do. You come from a practical point of view. I look at the diet, and then I look at the Reiki and the energies and the chakra, and then you look at the soul and the soul purpose and what is the purpose and of this incarnation, and what are the energy blocks and the chakras that might be causing the disease, and what are the feelings associated with it, and then bringing it all together with hypnosis and Reiki. That's how I work. But I would like you to, illumine the audience as to the various ways that you work, because, James, I really want to commend you, because you really do a lot of research for each of your clients, and you point them to in the direction of various websites and let their own conscience and still small voice within direct them to what is their best healing option. So there's a lot of good that you will do if you do a health reading or whatever for a client. There's an immense amount of knowledge that goes behind what you're doing. So I really commend you for being practical and well-grounded.
Yeah, thank you very much, because really a lot of people come into this spirituality and they think it's this woo-woo stuff. And, you know, I remember I used to go to these networking groups and it's hard to talk about this stuff. They're like, what's this person talking about? So you got to kind of ground in reality. And if you can begin that you have a body and then you've also got a mind that really, you know, really, I think it's the power player here. Your mind is such a powerful tool. People don't really realize the impact that your mind has, especially the thoughts that go on in your mind and how they can trigger stress and they can trigger all kinds of hormones and they can put your body in ease or dis-ease. And it's also the portal to your higher self, your soul, because that's the way for you to meditate and become aware of stuff through your mind. And the English philosopher James Allen said, the body is the servant of the mind, and wherever the mind goes, the body will follow. So when you have your mind in the right place, you have your body in the right place. And our thoughts are such powerful things. They're energy, and they actually go out into the field, and they will either create harmony or disharmony in our life, you know?
Yeah, I've noticed that there's been a significant challenge, I would say, in the last week with the intensification of the energies just coming from chaotic sources, I want to say. And not just the news, but just personal relationships, different types of energies with people and communication. And I've just noticed that the energies are extremely intense, and you have to be really focused on the positive right now to just make it through each day with the energies being as intense and conflicted as they are, particularly in America here. I just had to throw that in, because discipline of the mind is the only way that you're going to actually overcome an illness or a state of disease, is being very focused on what your intent is. Don't you believe that?
Absolutely. I think also as well, if you see where we are, and I like to follow astrology, and right next week we have a call as a lunar eclipse, but we've also got a super moon, a very powerful moon, and the word lunar and lunatic are from the same word, and people are very sensitive to emotion. This is a very powerful, and it has to do with the water. You see what happened to the ocean, how the full moon can raise the tides, and we're 70% water, and water usually connect with emotion. So people are going to be much more sensitive in this period right now with this application of the powerful energy of the moon and everything. And
I totally agree with you. And what I do when the full moon rolls around, if I'm in tune with myself and aware of it, it's a good thing to set your intentions, because the full moon is a time of manifesting usually, you know.
So. Yeah, and this one's also the full moon, which is the completion.
But, yeah, I remember when I was a teacher, the kids used to go totally crazy on the full moon, and everyone would roll their eyes and laugh and go, oh, yeah, that's right, it's a full moon. That's why the classroom is throwing clay all over the room and doing things. Okay, so go back to your thoughts on astrology. You like astrology?
I do. I think it's a good way. It's always interesting. I like to study it more, of how the planets affect us and when we were born. And I think, you know, if you go back to astrologers, they could really read time and everything. If you go back to the Mayans, they were great time readers as well. I think they were following the planetary movements and what's happening. We're also at a major point in our evolution right now with the shift of the ages, they call it, where we completed 26,000 years cycle of all these different ages together. And I was recently listening to this guy, Greg Braden, and he was talking about the Mayans didn't really know what would happen after 2012. They said we could either destroy ourselves, or we could go into a completely new, we could really go and create a whole new world for ourselves. So right now we're at a very pivotal time in our evolution. I think you see a lot more energy healers. It's becoming much more open, and people are much more sensitive to the energies, and it's becoming much more accepted and going into... I just recently see there that Columbia University Teachers College is now offering a master's where you can study spirituality and psychology, which is good.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Even the National Institute of Health now has an article about the biofield, which is really the informational field that the whole body functions on. So there's a lot, and Harvard is studying Reiki as well. So there's a lot more people open up to it now, and they realize that it's much bigger. Like, the conventional medical model really is very limited, and it's only 100 years old. Like, for prior to that, there homeopathic medicine, which is the kind of opposite to allopathic medicine, and traditional medicines were the way that people healed for thousands of years. But the medical model took such a strong hold, and we're kind of held to that today, and it's not really helping. Is this good for if you're in a car accident and you're bruised and you're bleeding and you need immediate surgery? But for illnesses and disease, they're more complex, and it doesn't really get to the underlying causes. And that's why, as a health coach,
it doesn't. And I know so many people that are on so many different drugs, just people that usually the people that come and work for me like once a week to help me clean a house and chop my vegetables and do my diet and everything. I find a lot of people that are working class are just totally sucked into the medical. Well, everybody really is sucked into the medical model. And if you got something seriously wrong, you'll get sucked into it, whether you like it or not, you know. And dealing with it is just such a royal pain, you know. And the doctors, well, at least where I'm from, I only had a handful of doctors that were open to even learning about changing the diet, and they weren't interested in knowing what I've done to keep myself well from, you know, I had stage 4 cancer, breast cancer, like 6-7 years ago, and it's like gone now, and they're not interested in knowing about what I did with the diet to learn it. They're not even allowed to ask me nor recommend the diet, you know. So I think it's opening up gradually, but it's amazing how the medical model has taken over the society, and people are taking all kinds of prescription medication that's to that their detriment, and younger people are on medicines all the time too. It's just you know, and it's not my preferred way. I like herbs and I like teas and I like the juicing diet and the veganism, and that has worked for me beautifully. But there are alternatives out there, and I think eventually there will be a whole complementary branch of medicine that will, you know, be available in clinics. But still, you know, every time I go to the doctor, they write out about, you know, one prescription. Well, just take this pill and you'll feel fine. It's like, oh, my God, you know. How many pills does a person need, really? I mean, I take a lot of herbs and more herbs than pills, but you know, it's just amazing. So, good for you, and good for all the medical doctors that are practicing in a holistic way too, because they usually get in trouble with their practice for doing it. But I think in the long run, they're doing a great service to society and to their patients by practicing what we call functional medicine, which is what you're doing basically. Is, you know, you're not a doctor, but you're recommending things, you know, diet and herbs and things, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm kind of looking at their diet, but also look at their lifestyle, because usually a lot of our lifestyle issues are choices then usually because of stress and because we're uneducated and we're easily taken in by Madison Avenue marketing. It's very easy to see these products, and products are so good there, but I think we really have to go back to our mind again, because really it's wherever the mind goes, the body will follow. Because really nobody, the manager of a McDonald's doesn't come out with a gun saying, come in here and buy a Big Mac or whatever, and I'll shoot you. You know, you make a choice. But if you understand there are consequences to choices, I think we have to understand that there, you know, there's nobody forcing you. Ultimately, you will make that choice of what food you put into your body. And I kind of say it's like, you know, you wouldn't go down to your house of worship and you wouldn't go in there and dump all your garbage in there and to be like a sacrilegious act. But every day we put that into our sacrosanct temple. We defile this body of ours because we're not conscious of the choices we make, and we don't realize what we're putting into our body. And at some stage, because illness and disease is a very slow, it's a glacial process. You don't have a heart attack overnight. It could take 40 years. But when you keep imbalancing yourself day by day, week by week, and you do not correct the imbalance, at some stage, something will have to give there. And unfortunately, your body can only help you so far. And as I say, you're only as strong as your weakest link. And wherever that link is, that's where the body will give. And then you have a whole host of health conditions, and you might end up using your entire savings to get yourself well again. So your health is your greatest personal investment, and you should be very conscious of that.
Yeah, that's a very good point, because I experienced that when I had breast cancer that went undiagnosed for a long time, and I knew that something was wrong, and I kept going, and my angels kept telling me to go and get it looked at, and things just didn't get diagnosed. So then I was put on hormones for another reason, and I normally wouldn't have gone on any hormones, but these were bioidentical, and I was told that they were safe. So I was going to a natural path type healer, and that's how it happened. Odd that it sounds. So you get into the medical system, and then they don't tell you what all of the stuff that they're going to do to you is going to have long-term consequences, nor did they tell you how much it's going to cost. So the average cancer patient that's got stage 3 or 4, they're advanced, usually failed to get diagnosed in the first place or failed to go to the doctor. But sometimes, like me, they were going and they just didn't get diagnosed in time. And then secondly, you end up, you know, in the medical model, you end up with $100,000, $200,000 worth of bills. And even with good insurance, you can end up with these astronomical bills, you know. And on top of that, you're trying to fight the disease and the fatigue and trying to work. And a lot of people end up not being able to work, and they crash their savings out. And so, you know, like the old adage, let thy food be thy medicine and thy medicine be thy food. That's one way to combat cancer. But I'm not just talking about cancer. You're talking about lifestyle, like exercise, nutrition, sleep, walking, air, you know, water, hydration, just simple things. And doing joyful things every day, I think, really helps too.
Yeah, it's a whole, it's like a pizza pie. You can't just do one slice of the pie. You know, you can't say, oh, I drink my green juices and eat my kale and quinoa and I'm healthy, but then I'm a very angry, negative, toxic person, or that I'm sedentary. I sit for hours. I go to the gym for 30 minutes, three times or four times a week. Now we know that going to the gym or that kind of exercise for 30 or 40 minutes, four or five times a week is not enough. You have to move your body. It's not good enough to exercise. You know, sedentary can really have many consequences now, diabetes, cancer, yeah, and so forth. And our ancestors, yeah, didn't have the luxury of sitting in caves every day and having a store close by where they could go and get their food. They actually had to go out there and might have got killed getting their food. So they constantly hunter-gatherers. They eat some time, and then there was a time of feast and a time of famine. So, you know, their life depended upon it, and they went out there and they moved, and that's where our genetics are still wired. So we have become very sedentary, and we've become very soft and a lot like our parents, yeah, and grandparents. They had to work hard and they walked, and we don't walk, we sit and sedentary. And our lymphatic system, which is not like the circulation system, like the blood vessels, which are pumped under pressure, it's more like a drainage system, and they need to be moved to get that lymph moving. And the only way you do that is by walking and moving and jumping around. That's how you move that system, which is very important.
Yeah, so I agree with you on all those basic things. Now, moving into the body-mind-spirit connection, as you know, I do Reiki, and I've taught Reiki, and I do a form of Reiki called angelic Reiki, but I'm trained in the Usui method, and I am assuming you are too. And your Reiki was very effective at a distance for making me feel entirely better, and I hadn't had a particularly great day that day, so I appreciate it. And you know, I've been, you know, working with Reiki clients, and I was attuned in 2008. So I knew that I was a healer because I used to do these readings, and I would hold out people's hands and I would touch them, and they would feel completely healed while I was doing a reading. So that's when I decided to investigate Reiki. And then Reiki's been a part of my life ever since. But Reiki really sets the right tone for the mind and the spirit. So it's like this divine source energy, God energy flowing through. And if you would expand on your experiences with using Reiki and how it's helped your clients or yourself.
Well, I suppose, you know, yeah, I suppose I originally came across it by accident. I saw somebody teaching it one day, and I was curious, and I went down there, and we started doing this, and then they gave you these very specific symbols you got to learn about, because every different level you go and you get new symbols, and learning about Dr. Usui and how he kind of came across it originally in Japan and how it came to Madame Takata, who then brought it to the West, and then eventually it became very popular in the 70s in the US eventually. So it was basically kind of channeling the energy. The practitioner basically does not dictate where this energy goes or how it's going to go. Usually the client will present an issue and then you kind of set the intention for the client that would kind of lie on the table, as you know, and then the practitioner would begin at the head and kind of really work down through the body. And sometimes you're guided to different areas of the body where you just kind of know that you need to spend some time there. And usually you don't have to touch the body. Certain places you might, but most of the time your hand, because really your hand is more like a conduit. And it's like you had steam coming out. You imagine steam coming out your hand, but you can't really see it. But that's how the energy kind of comes out of you. And you're just like a faucet. And the energy flows out of you, and it kind of goes where it needs to go in the body, and it helps to really get to a very deep level, because you're going in. Because if you look at the body, if you look at anything in everything in the universe is energy, and so matter is made of molecules. Molecules are made of atoms. Atoms are made of subatomic particles. Subatomic particles are made of wave packets of energy. So everything comes from energy, and you really, if there's an energy imbalance, then, you know, that can often work its way up there. I would probably say like the body is like an onion. Let me explain the subtle energy bodies, because this is how the energy comes through. So imagine if you ever cut an onion in half, and imagine that little centerpiece in the middle of the onion is your physical body. And all those concentric layers of the onion are different subtle energy bodies. So you begin with the physical body, then you have the etheric body. Then you have the emotional body, mental body, astral body, causal body. So you got all these different layers of bodies, but they're all different frequencies of energy. So I think the etheric body is actually the body where the acupuncture meridian system comes from, and where the chakra systems
totally
are coming from.
I totally agree with you. And I think that's the most important aspect of Reiki. It's not really working on the body. It's adjusting the etheric body and the energies that to help the chakras spin faster and get clear and move the energy, the negative energy, out, as the positive energy is called forth from the angelic realms, is what I do. And then I do some different things with the angels, with sound and bringing vibration through. But I've worked with a lot of cancer patients. I noticed your testimonials were really nice on your website. And remember to all of our listeners that you can visit James's website, because he's up and posted right now, and you can hear or read the various testimonials from folks. But you've worked with all types of patients, autoimmune and cancer patients and people that were depressed and all kinds of different issues, right?
Yeah, with the people that come from many different issues, you know, I have one person with cancer many years ago. I helped this person. It took some time, but this person was very committed to working on themselves. And, you know, I think Deepak Chopra once said, cancer is the intelligence of the body gone mad, you know, which is interesting, because cancer is like a cell who decides, I don't want to be part of this community of healthy cells. And it goes off and it does its own thing. And
yeah,
unfortunately, it's kind of like, it's about the ego. It says, I'll do my own thing. I don't need the higher power. I don't need the spirit. I don't need this community of these really loving beings. You know, I'll just be by myself, you know. And it's like what every cell has a purpose. And when that cell kind of goes out of balance and creates disharmony in the body, which there can be many contributing factors. Cancer is a very complex illness. We can't say it's just energy. There could be many factors there, you know. But
yeah.
It depends also
usually
on the people's
work. Usually there's trapped emotion, but not always. And sometimes it can be caused from purely physical ingredients and things, you know, like chemical contamination and tragedies like that, too, you know. Especially with children's cancer and brain tumors, that's an entirely different topic that I have different feeling about that. I don't think it comes from children's innate negativity or anything. And the one thing I always... You know, I think that you need to look at is the emotions behind it, but I don't think that's the sole cause of it. Usually there's some other causal thing that happens, but I have worked with them, cancer patients too, and seen remarkable results with Reiki. And I used to volunteer in the Reiki room at the chemo room, not a Reiki room, a chemo room, but They have a Reiki program now at SIU School of Medicine, and people can sign up and get a Reiki treatment in the school. And I was good friends with the lady that founded the school, and she had a severe form of cancer that was incurable. And I gave her a reading, and I said that Archangel Michael says you're going to get better, and she did get better. But then she didn't want to change her lifestyle or her diet, so eventually she did pass on, but she left a lovely legacy of Reiki for the cancer patients at the School of Medicine. So she was really instrumental in founding something really beautiful. So good for her. But back to you now. So you got into a lot of the mind, and of course you struggled with some depression. So if there's anybody listening that has struggled with depression, what are some tips that you might give them or clues as to the maze? Because I was fascinated toward the end of your book, you were getting into something called the family constellation therapy. I had not heard of this, and apparently it was very interesting and insightful. If you can give us a little bit on this before we close out the show.
Sure. Well, with depression first, it's a very complex illness. It could be sometimes people say when you can't express even your creativity, you can get depressed. We're now seeing that the gut bacteria has a huge impact on our feelings because they actually talk to the brain, to the enteric nervous system, which is it's a major nerve that runs between the brain and the colon and the bacteria.
Yeah, I've seen all kinds of articles on that. That's very fascinating.
Yeah, there's actually an article on the NIHS website. Is called the microbiota, what they're called, is the missing link in depression. So they're really looking at these bacteria because depending on the health of these bacteria, they can really send different signals to the brain. If you ever take a lot of prescription medications or antibiotics that kill these bacteria, and our body's 30 trillion cells, but we got 40 trillion bacteria. So we're mostly bacteria, and we originally get that bacteria when we go down the birth canal. That's when we're picking up these bacteria. But if you had a cesarean section, you wouldn't get those bacteria, and you may have immune issues later on in life. But so the bacteria is important there, and also, you know, it's just talking to people and just being letting go of your emotions. I think it's good that we try to hold in our emotions instead of letting them go, because we become like a pressure cooker. You know, it's if they come, like, yeah, let that energy go from yourself there. I think it's important. And the emotion code is the technique I do where I clear, because an emotion is basically energy and motion. That's what the word emotion means. So we
exactly
can clear
energy and motion. I think Neil Donald Walsh coined that phrase, but it may be another quoted author from your book. You know all of the quotes. James, you're the expert on you're the quote man. My God, it's brilliant. I love Shakespeare. I love all of your authors that you quote. It's just marvelous to read your book. So the emotion code, tell us about the emotion code and then explain the family constellation, if you can, in a short way.
Sure. So back around 2014, this person sent me this movie called E-Motion. And I was just checking it out, and there was this guy on there named Bradley Nelson, and he was a chiropractor in Utah, and he wrote a book called The Emotion Code, and he found in his work as a chiropractor that most people's pain issues were trapped emotions in their body. And he found a very simple way to release these trapped emotions, basically through kinesiology or muscle testing, because your body is your subconscious mind, and you can muscle test for emotions on the body, and sometimes now I wouldn't even have to touch somebody. Once I get permission to work on them, then I can be a surrogate for them if they're in my presence, or if they're on a phone, I can proxy for them, because all energy is still connected, and I can put my subconscious mind aside and I can work on their subconscious mind, and then I can tap into their subconscious mind by muscle testing, which Dr. Nelson has been doing. And then he's got a chart of emotions, which really comes from the traditional Chinese five element theory, where they correlate specific emotions to the different five elements, and then you can muscle test to the exact emotion. Now, once you find the emotion, then you can inquire, do we need to know more about this emotion? And sometimes the body says yes, and then we can do age regression, and then we can go back, and sometimes the emotion could be from an inherited emotion from an ancestor, and then we can go back and find out who the person was, how many generations. And once we get that,
it gets really complex and interesting. I thought that was very interesting. I've noticed corollary things to what you were describing with constellation, but I've not done family constellation therapy. But you're talking about the emotion code and the family constellation therapy. And now is family constellation therapy being used in psychotherapy, or do you know?
Well, actually, it's originally this guy, Dr. Bert Hellinger, who was actually a priest in South Africa originally. He originally founded Family Constellations. He spent a lot of time with the Zulu tribes, and he see how the ancestral issues could often travel down through many generations. And then he came back to Germany after that, and he became a psychotherapist, and he brought in some different other modalities. And eventually he created this technique in the 90s called Family Constellations, where he kind of saw that often issues with our ancestors can really travel down through the I would say the energetic lineage, then the epigenetic level, basically through the genetics, you know, like epigenetics says that if you have a problem with the genes, it may not be a progenitor or from your ancestors, it may be just the field. But there's also the morphogenetic field that Rupert Sheldrake talks about, that this energy can travel down to the field system of the ancestral lineage. And sometimes
you're talking about Deepak Chopra now with the morphogenic field. Did you say Deepak's name?
Rupert Sheldrake. He was a biologist
Rupert
from
Sheldrake.
From Cambridge University. He talks a lot about the animals, it's big in biology, and with the morphogenetic field, that might be, I think, how the 100 monkey theory works, that these field systems in certain social groups, information can travel without, it can travel inherently, it can really go for generations, and it can go undetected. So I feel with this family constellations, basically you're tapping into a field of your ancestors, and then you're finding out who the person was that may have had the issue. And we often get energetically tied in with these people. They call it blind love. We get subconsciously, we get tied in with their issues. We want to carry their fate, basically. If they had a bad fate, if they died or something, or if there were a miscarriage or something, and we feel that if we're born in a certain sequence, there's a thing called hierarchy, that whoever comes first is always first. So if a person got pregnant, a childless couple, I give the example in the book, if she had never, this woman in this marriage, we'd say never had a child before, and then her first child never made it to birth because it died of a miscarriage or stillbirth. And then she has other children afterwards, but they're born healthy. Then if you ask that person how many children you have, let's say she has two living children, she would say, I just got two children. But in the family constellation, it says you have another child who was never born, but that child who never born is that first child. It will always be the first child, but children who are born afterwards get pulled back into that deceased child if that child was not recognized, and they feel great emptiness. They feel guilt that they're alive and that their sibling is dead, and they may become depressed, they may go on to drug addiction, or they may commit suicide.
That's what in the psychic world we call a negative entity attachment. So that child in the spirit realm can attach to the person too, you know, subconsciously, and it's never intentional that any of these deceased family members necessarily negatively attach, but it happens, and then that can be cleared with the work of psychic too. But I'm just making the corollary that this is the only corollary I've ever seen to what you're talking about with the family constellation. So go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I had to just do a parallel comparison there. So go back to what you were saying, James.
Yeah, sure. I think it's just that we don't intentionally, because again, it's happening subconsciously. A person doesn't even realize this, that they become blind love for their ancestor, for their sibling in this case, and they say, "Let me carry your fate." My deceased sibling in this case, but your sibling says, no, don't carry my fate because I choose that fate. It's not for you to carry. It's not for any soul to carry the fate of another soul. We're all here because...
Have you also discovered, as I have, that some people suffer from chronic depression because a loved one or a spouse passes on and they never get over it, and they are attached emotionally to that person in the spirit realm. And then, know, they constantly need to communicate with that person, which is understandable, and that's good thing to do to an extent, but then it's very hard for them to accept the passing, and they just really don't ever make progress and stay in a state of constant depression since the passing of the person. So I think, are we talking about the same thing with that?
Bit differently, I think a person who cannot get over, because I remember I was this Dr. Daniel Lehman, he does a lot of brain research, and he says people get wired in your brain. And, you know, with somebody like that, a person who's been married for many years and all of a sudden their partner dies, that person is wired in their brain. And then he says one day something comes to you and you want to share and you go looking for the person. And you realize they're not there. The same thing happens with our animals. That's why, and then the limbic system, which is the emotional part of the brain there, gets lit up and fired up because that's where all the intense emotions are, because the neurons have wired in a way for this person and the brain's expecting the person to be still there. So in case of grief and letting go, it's very hard because the brain has wired that person into the brain. And the brain is the organ of personality. So we, and this Joe Dispenza says, our personality creates our personal reality. So when this person in our, it's very hard to unbreak. It's like people who break up in a relationship, you know, the trauma, the hurt, the pain, but also in the heart as well. I'd say that that connection is there as well, the energetic there. But it's, but Michael Newton, who
and
I was kind of referencing,
yeah,
and in the book there, he kind of often talks about people come to him for many things. He says, because people never really, they're never gone. They've just gone into an energetic form. Our loved ones are right there, you know, but we can't see them anymore because they're in the
energy. Yeah, I would say they're still here. That's my personal experience, especially with those I work with on the other side quite a bit. I do quite a bit of channeling and mediumship. And so they're still here. They're still living. They're living in an etheric body, and they're still experiencing life. But it's a different form of life, and to me, it's a joyful way of looking at the afterlife. But you know, it's for other people that don't have my gift, and even for me, when I lost my father, it was very, very hard to deal with it for a while. It was like it made me depressed for a few months, and it was just you know, at Christmas time and at the holiday times, you think of your loved ones. And even though you may be a medium, it's just not the same without them, you know. So there is this attachment that is formed, and it's only natural. But sometimes in some people, it causes them to be, you know, become severely depressed, which is, I think, what you were talking about with the family constellation. And I just need to let you know that we're wrapping up the show. So if you would, you know, just briefly summarize everything again for us, and give us your website and your phone number if you want to give it out, or your email, and you know, whatever your thoughts were on completing your thoughts on the family constellation and other theories that you've been working with.
Yeah, I think there's many different tools out there, and we all gravitate towards different people, and these are the people that will help us. I think it's good that it's like a mechanic, he needs different types of tools to fix an automobile, and it's good to have different modalities, and different modalities are good for certain things. So I think it's good for people to do their own research, and that's why I kind of study many of them, so I could offer people a choice of different tools that I could work on, whether they're nutrition or emotional or spiritual work there, to give them options there. And it's always good for them to kind of check the person out. Does the person resonate with them? Have they a good feeling about the person? Is this the person right for them? And also speak to the person priorhand. Because they'll kind of, we all kind of already know subconsciously if something is right or wrong. We just have to really pay attention to our body if it'll feel good or right, and to be open-minded about their health, and not to get stuck. The medical model can be very constrictive, and people who are doing this
stuff. Yeah, when they tell you can't be healed of this thing and you're going to die within a year, then a lot of people just give up and they die within a year. You know, which. I didn't, but that's what was told me, and I knew enough about the medical system to disregard it completely. I'm laughing about it because it's been 6 years going on seven now, you know. And so anyway, would you summarize the book and the website and where you can get it. And I encourage our listeners to buy James's wonderful book and also tap into James's wonderful healing services. Okay, 30 seconds, so we have to close out. Thank you so much, James, for appearing with me on The Peaceful Planet, and we'll play Appreciated Angels and conclude the show. Thank you so much, James.
Thank you very much, Marcy. I appreciate you having me on as your
guest. Pleasure to have you. Talk again.
Thank you.